Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. But when the man heard this, he became very sad, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." A lot of people don't flourish as Christians, as disciples, because they are too busy building security for their own life, comfort for their own life. And we don't give God is an afterthought. We don't think about him whatsoever sometimes. And Jesus looks at this rich ruler's heart, and he sees that he has issues with security, that he has issues with his wealth and his desire for comfort. He wants the security and comfort that money can buy, so much so that he walks away and ends this conversation with Jesus. He leaves sad. Because he has lots of money, he walks away from the source of life. Do you see the irony of this? A lot of us live that irony. Jesus didn't say, "Build your life and then do your best to try to fit me in." Jesus says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his kind of righteousness." This man made a judgment that worldly wealth now, in the present, is more valuable than the future, a future with treasure in heaven. Well, all Christians, I think, naturally try to do everything they can to build wealth in both places. I'm going to invest in things here, and I'm going to invest in things there. And we do a good job of that a lot of times. But when it comes down to a choice between a few dollars more here and now versus the ambiguity of treasure in heaven someday, many will choose one in the hand over two in the bush. But it's not really one in the hand over two in the bush. It's actually all or nothing, the proposition. You see, if you don't trust your Father, you won't know the value of the blessing of God. You will sell your birthright, what should be yours. You'll sell it for a bowl of soup. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town, and there was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." And Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. "He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner." And they grumbled. They grumbled. You see the differences between the rich religious man and the despised tax collector? See, this rich, church-going person, he is the right kind of person. He's the kind of person who you let your kids play with. And he is the kind of person who has the right credentials. And he's the kind of person who's respectable, someone who has the right answers and knows the right things to say. But the irony is, in the end, he has the wrong kind of heart. Zacchaeus, on the other hand, is the wrong kind of person. And everyone knew this man was a traitor. Someone who had gained their wealth in questionable ways. He wasn't respectable. In fact, he was despised. And yet, in spite of all of this, Zacchaeus has a kind of heart that is profitable or fruitful for Jesus. This broken and despised short little person was someone capable of receiving Jesus with excitement and joy. Whereas the good church-going person didn't have room in his heart to receive Jesus that way. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give back four times as much." And Jesus responded, "Salvation. Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." What the rich religious man didn't realize is that following Jesus, being together with Jesus, in the company of Jesus, was something greater than his worldly riches, no matter how vast those riches may be. He underestimated the value of what Jesus was offering. A lot of rich religious people fail to respond to Jesus with excitement and joy. First of all, because I don't think we fully realize or appreciate just how lost we are. But I think a lot of it times it has to do with we are trained and programmed in a society of vast wealth and capitalism to worship wealth, to consume and enjoy the things that wealth gives us and wealth does for us. And we don't fully appreciate the value of a relationship with Jesus Christ and what is offered in that relationship. But I think just this despised person, Zacchaeus, just all Jesus said is, "I want to come hang out with you." And that was enough to say, "Here's half of everything I've accumulated in my lifetime. Take it. I don't want it. And anyone who I've wronged, I'm going to do beyond what the Jewish law says, and I'm going to make four times restitution." Jesus was probably amused at seeing this little guy in the tree. So he offers this invitation. And Zacchaeus responds from the heart in such a way that it shows that he wanted the company of Jesus more than he wanted his wealth. Do you see the difference in these hearts? And Zacchaeus woke up to the fact that he had been given an unprecedented opportunity. This is it. This is my shot. You know, a lot of us live very good lives. Praise God for that.
But a lot of you have lived very broken, messed up lives as well. And you realize you're a broken person. And the blessing that comes in that is you realize that you're lost without Jesus. And that you've been given the deal, the opportunity of a lifetime. An opportunity of a lifetime.
The reason Luke puts these stories back to back, and Jesus tells these stories and teaches this parable about pounds, is to get you and I to question your assumptions about who is truly blessed and what it is that makes a person blessed. What is it that makes a person blessed? What is the good life, in other words?
The people who have trouble with generosity are the people who hold wealth and the things that wealth can buy as being greater value than knowing and following and obeying Jesus. That's where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. Those who hold the invitation to follow Jesus as being the greatest opportunity of your life, that relationship as being the greatest worth and greatest value, they don't have trouble with generosity. They're open-handed with the Lord because they know that whatever this costs, it's nothing compared to this relationship. Well, what is it that makes generosity so easy for godly people? I've been impressed with our little church, this building campaign, the way the Lord has opened hearts to give toward this. And we're still doing our regular giving and contributions. What is it that makes generosity so easy for godly people? Have you ever had a moment where you realize you have come across an incredible deal? I have daughters who love to go thrift store shopping, because that's a place where you can still find incredible deals. Now, if I go to a retailer, I can find an okay deal. But if I'm maybe on Facebook Marketplace or something where someone doesn't realize the value of what they're getting rid of and they post some ridiculously low, have you ever come across the deal of a lifetime? The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. And in his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. Noah Calvin is out there screaming in joy over his G-pop sermon. What is the kingdom of heaven all about? The kingdom of heaven is the gospel that Jesus announces, that even now in this life you can begin to live in a relationship with God. The kingdom of heaven is where the will of God is being done. It is the presence of God. That relationship that we are given access to through Jesus and what he's done for us, that is the greatest return on investment there is of all time. And those who treat the kingdom of heaven and that relationship as the greatest opportunity of human life
Once you make that choice and you begin to live into that, you understand and discover the value of it. But it's confounding to the people of the world. Why would you give a church anything? Why would you give this for that? Why would you help that kind of person? They're not going to be thankful or appreciate it. You're just perpetuating. You're enabling. In the book of Genesis, chapter 25 and chapter 27, it's a story of two brothers, Jacob and Esau. And Esau was the oldest, and he was supposed to receive the blessing of the firstborn. But Esau despised the blessing of God. He was blind to its value. In fact, he promised Jacob that blessing for a bowl of lentil soup and some bread. That's how much he despised that blessing. And Jacob, even though he obtained the blessing of the firstborn through deceit and trickery, he understood something more about the value of that blessing than his older brother understood. Because a blessing is so much greater than just wealth or the things that money can buy. A relationship is so much greater than the gifts, the goodies themselves. What am I talking about? I'm talking about divine favor. I'm a blessed man. I mean, I've done pretty good as a missionary and a minister. But I could never imagine using wealth or accumulating wealth like some of the richest people in the world. But if I could trade places with an Elon Musk or a Jeff Bezos, I would never do that. That looks like insanity to me. Because the Lord has molded my heart in such a way that I value things differently now. I know that the relationship is more valuable than the gift. And that's the invitation of this comparison. So one last verse, and I'll offer our invitation. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Friendship and a relationship with Jesus Christ and the blessings that come with that relationship are the greatest opportunity of human life. Think about what kind of heart that you hold before the Lord. Think about how much you value that relationship. And how does that relationship impact your day-to-day life and your 9-to-5 job and the way you treat people in your family and all that stuff? So if you need the prayers of this church, if you want to put the Lord on in baptism, we always offer an opportunity. And baptism is a way we enter into that journey of discipleship and new life, new brother out there. And it's a beautiful thing. We always make an opportunity for that. So if there's some way I can help you, you can find me up here. Let's go ahead and stand and sing our invitation song together.
All right, this one's really easy. If you don't know it, just follow along. Men will lead, women you'll echo.